Great, let's pray as we come to this text. Father God, we thank you that you are family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you draw us into your family and you speak to us. Pray that you'd open our ears and move in our hearts and minds to hear you, to believe you, to obey you. Amen. I wonder if you've come across someone or you've had someone recently, a Christian friend says, I don't do church. I'm a Christian, but I don't really do church. Or I don't belong. Or I don't need to belong to church as a Christian. Or maybe slightly subtler. This was a comment that went round a bit. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian anymore than standing in a garage makes you a car. Which is sort of true, isn't it? Just going to church doesn't make you a Christian. The sort of British idea of being jolly nice and respectable and going to the pointy building on a Sunday occasionally sorts you out. We know that kind of idea, and it's not great. It doesn't lead to a personal relationship with a loving Father God. So what about this idea of being a Christian and not doing church? Well, we're going to see, hopefully, that a Christian does do church because they already belong to church by being Christian. They need to belong to being to their body, to the church, if they're a Christian. Last week, we had that kind of key verse in the first half of this chapter. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And if you want to do common good to each other, it's difficult to do that if you don't see each other in order to do good commonly. Now we're going to see the church as a body, and how we're all joined together. But what sort of body is it? Well, first of all, the church is one body. I guess that's the obvious starter. And you belong to that body. You belong to church. It's the first couple of verses of our section here. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. The church is one body. You think we can think of the worldwide church, what Jesus has done for people, whatever country they're from, one body. Or more, maybe kind of a local church, Christians in Maidenhead, or even the St. Mary's Church family, one body. Or maybe even this congregation. And actually, I think it's this congregation that this passage will be particularly keying into, because it's those who can do and know each other well enough to do for each other and belong to each other. But the church is one body. We're united with each other. God calls us to be part of a body, a single entity. But did you notice what happens at the end of that verse? The body is a unit. It's made of many parts. All its parts are many. They form one body. So it is with the church. No. What does it say? So it is with Christ. As he is that single entity, the Son of God, so we belong to each other, one body. It's there later on down in verse 27 as well. You are the body of Christ. So spoiler alert, but as we talk about the body all the way through, Paul is going to be referencing Christ. Christ, we are his body as we're united with him. Union with Christ, crucified. Union with Christ, raised. Brought into life by his Spirit. That verse 13 kind of two parallel expressions. Baptized by one Spirit, we're given one Spirit to drink. At the time when we became Christians, we got the Spirit. We had that last week, didn't we? You're not a Christian without a Spirit. You have the Spirit in order to become a Christian. Baptized by one Spirit, drinking one Spirit. We are all baptized into that one Spirit, united, a spiritual reality, becoming a Christian, that new start to form one body. So church is not a meeting that we go to. It's a body we belong to. And if last week there's no spiritless Christian, this week there's no churchless Christian. Similarly, churches cannot be one person. You can't be a one-person church on your own. The body is a unit. It is made up of many parts. And we're going to come on to the different sorts of parts. So it's not you should belong to a body, but as if you're a Christian, you do belong to a body. It's nonsensical to talk about part of a body kind of trying to live on its own, isn't it? We're a part of this one body. You belong to church. And all one comes up several times in this. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. We were all baptized by one Spirit. We were all given the one Spirit, all one. So maybe a question right at the beginning of this is, what sort of all do we find it difficult to be united to? What sort of person, Christian, do we think, well, I'm united to these ones, but I can't quite see how I belong with this sort of person? Who is it difficult for us to be united to? I think it's a strength here at the 4pm. I've really enjoyed getting to know as many of you as possible, and I think we know each other fairly well as a congregation. We're certainly very involved with kind of doing the various things. So the majority of us, we probably have a good sense of belonging together. We prioritise looking out for each other, congregational team, myself, and all of us actually in various ways. We prioritise looking out for each other, involving each other. But I guess there will always be some in any kind of congregation. If you feel like maybe you're a bit newer, or maybe sort of just don't feel as involved or know quite what's going on as well as other people, please come and speak. If you can, I will try and find you. We will try and find you. But if you feel on the outside, if you don't feel involved, please come and speak. There are many ways to get involved. Every time we have rotas that want to be filled, groups that would love you to belong to them, ways to get to know others better. Let's try and do it together. We all belong to one body. And there is a danger as we belong to this one congregation at 4pm, as we become maybe slightly detached from other congregations. So how are we aware of being part of the wider St. Mary's family? Maybe you have children that come to the midweek groups and things like that. We share kind of the staff. We're going to hear from John Fairley later. How do we feel part of Christians in Maidenhead? Did you make an effort to come to that kind of walk of witness on the Good Friday? Do we kind of know Christians at work who are from other churches, or we're still willing to pray with them, encourage each other? Christians together in the sports place, Christians together kind of for particular schools, and even across the world. We're united, we're joined together in that one body of Christ. The church is one body. You belong to church. Secondly, the church is one body of many parts, which all belong to the body, which I think is this next paragraph, verse 14 to 20. We've come across this before, but we're not united because we're all the same. It's much easier to be united if you're all the same. I once dreamed in my history of being in medical physics that I would invent the machine that turned everyone into a perfect homogeneous sphere, because then you could treat them the same and it'd be brilliant. You'll know medicine has all sorts of trouble because we're different and we react differently and we're different shapes. In the church, I don't know if that quite works the same, but we're different. But we're united in diversity. In difference, and it's brilliant. And last week we had kind of a list of different gifts. This week we've got kind of a list of different gifts later on in this passage, of variety. I think the idea is here to show a variety of ways to be involved, or a variety of ways of being gifted. We're all gifted, but different. And this next section, 14 to 20, is written to the foot person or the ear person. So I don't know if you are a foot person or an ear person. If you are, you say this sort of phrase: because I am not like this, I do not belong. Because I'm not a hand or an eye, I do not belong. Because I'm not like this, I don't have that thing, I cannot do that way, then I do not belong. I wonder if that's you this afternoon. I just don't see my role. I look up there and I couldn't do that. There's the story of the church. Had a wonderful band, and there's a particular great bassoonist who played a lovely sort of haunting bassoon-type melody. And other people saw this and thought, this is brilliant, I want to get on the bassoon. And they learned, they studied it hard, and soon there were two bassoons, three bassoons. Suddenly the band was full of bassoons. It's a slightly ridiculous story, particularly if, like me, you think a bassoon sounds a bit like the Ugly Duckling walk. But you can see that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We wouldn't all be wanting to do the same thing. We can't. That's not what God wants for us. We are all different. You are needed. Your church needs you. Or perhaps more like this, the vicar version of it. Your church needs you. Notice in verse 18, God arranged these parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You, just as he wanted you to be as part of this church body. Me, just as he wanted me to be. He has arranged it. He's made, you think, kind of a body is a great thing. A human body is a great thing. He's made the church body is this great thing. And he's arranged us, every one of us, just as he wanted us to be. So you can skim down kind of the list in verses 8 to 10, or the list that comes later. Do you have kind of a sort of the gifts of having kind of been particularly wise, experienced in certain ways, being able to encourage others, having particular faith and believing God for what he can do and will do? Have you been involved in praying for people and seeing kind of healing, seeing kind of other sort of miracle things? I heard of a story Thursday morning Bible study of someone who saw sort of a dramatic recovery, someone in sort of a medical situation. The doctor just didn't know what happened, but people have prayed for this. What is your gift? How can we serve? How can we encourage each other within the church? Please don't be one who's saying, I don't have those gifts that I can see. The music, the praying, the reading, whatever it is that's visible. There are lots of invisible things that have to happen before the visible happens. He's made you. He's gifted you to use your you-ness amongst us. I know you-ness isn't a word, but there it is. He's made you and gifted you and arranged us. Isn't that a great picture? Every one of us, just as he wanted us to be. So a question here would be, if you feel that something is particularly prized, and I guess for our church, maybe the teaching ministry, people up front, word stuff in our style of church. If you feel something's prized and you can't do that and it wouldn't be right for you to do it and you're not gifted for that, you still are part of things. There's more than just that to being the church body, isn't there? We cannot do it by ourselves. We need you. You need me. We need each other. Christian, but don't need to go to church. You are needed by that body to belong to it. Well, that's if you're a foot or an ear type person. If you're worried that you don't have the thing to be involved and so you can't really be involved, you are needed. But maybe you are an eye or a head type in this next paragraph. And the sort of thing you say is, I don't need you. I'm the one at the top of the pyramid or the one at the front. There's a danger there, isn't it, to those of us who might feel at times superior. We're reminded in this passage again, we're not all the same. And not only are we not all the same, so we don't treat each other actually the same. It's interesting this. The weakest are treated differently to the strongest. Those who are less honourable, verse 23, treated with special honour. Well, what is this about? First of all, note kind of in the idiom, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, parts we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. I think Paul is making a sort of joke about kind of our sex organs, dare you say it out loud. We have these bits which you may want to cover up, and you may not want to display, but you certainly treat them with an honour and protection in certain instances. With a young family, I've been deliberately thinking about maybe getting a cup for when Johnny starts to run at me in certain ways. These things are indispensable. Well, what can that mean within the body, within the church? Well, if we have weaker people, if we have seasons where people are weak for whatever reason, maybe kind of physically weak, spiritually weak, mentally weak, it's an opportunity for us to care, a privilege to care for each other, the strong for the weak in a particular season or continuously or sacrificially. Isn't it? How would we care if people kept taking themselves off every time they felt weak? If you feel you have been weak or you're in a season of weakness, it's also a chance to have a particular sort of ministry. Maybe you've been weak in kind of relationships or temptations. Maybe you can share with others of that time of how God has helped you. Maybe you've gone through a time, and I've heard stories of these things already from you, of kind of health difficulties, of cancer or other things, either ongoing struggle or past struggle. And you can have a special ministry to others with the same struggle, can't you? special love, a concern, an empathy, a way of speaking to that, to those who have not ever had that, it's harder for us to speak. Think of kind of areas of like depression. So hard to understand if you've not been through it, but if you've been through it or you struggle with it, you can minister to others. They're indispensable to us to be able to share that kind of testimony. Any kind of life circumstances, current or history, the weaker are indispensable to us. The unpresentable, we deal with greater honour. I've already said probably enough of that, and I won't say any more of the illustration of that. But our more obviously honourable members of the church should rejoice in showing honour to the less honourable. Notice it's not just putting up with the less honourable, showing honour. People are valuable. There may be people who you don't necessarily put in front of a microphone, and it wouldn't be right to put them in front of a microphone, but we can still show them great honour. We can love each other and encourage each other to be part of this same body. God has so arranged us. How are we going to extra show value to those? And the last part, how closely are we joined? Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices. I guess the obvious picture is you kind of stumble through in a dark room and you stub your toe. Ow! Maybe you take your nail a little way off. Let's get that level of pain. You've hurt part of you, but the rest of you joins in. Your voice might give a little, ah! It's joining in. Your hand might go, ah, it's joining in. You can feel it throughout you, can't you? Jingling up and down your spine. I don't know why I'm imagining this so clearly in my head. But you hurt, don't you? All of you hurts. It's not just say, oh, your toe hurts, but the rest of us can carry on. The rest of you wants to take a moment to think about what you've learnt. It's not okay if my sister in Christ is falling away, if there's kind of a particular area of sin or there's something that's happened. It's not okay if my brother in Christ is struggling and suffering and it's not me. If one suffers, we all suffer. We want to help each other, encourage each other. We need to look out for each other in all areas of life. And if I have something happen to me, if I slip into sin, it's not my own problem. If I have a temptation which I'm just not dealing with, I'm struggling with at this time, if I'm suffering in some way, it's not my own problem and I'll just deal with it and sort it out and then I'll be back, smiling. This is saying it doesn't work like that, does it? If one suffers, we all suffer. How are we doing with that? That second one particularly, we're good at asking, how are you? How are you? How can I help? How can I help? Are we good at asking, I need help, to the one or two that we trust to come alongside? I'm struggling. Can you help? And honour one part or all rejoice, celebrate together. We hear of kind of someone's growth in the Christian life, someone coming to Christ, great rejoicing of coming through a time, a sort of celebration. Let's celebrate together. Let's party together. Let's enjoy each other's successes and good testimonies together. That's why we have a sort of TTT regular slots. That's why it's great to be in growth groups and hear testimony. I went to a funeral just before Easter of an older guy. And I'd only known him in the last 6 months because I've only just arrived and he was deteriorating. But I heard of kind of what God had done in him and through him. It was brilliant. So now on Thursday mornings in my men's Bible study, we're going to have a testimony slot. First 5 minutes, I'm going to cut them off because old men, they talk too long. But it's going to be great because we're going to hear these testimonies. We're going to celebrate together what God has done. We need to do that too. Christian, but you don't need to go to church. You're needed and you need others. There's that famous African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a church to raise a Christian, partly because we'll have people who it's difficult to get on with, and that builds us up in our patience and our perseverance. And partly we will hear good stories, testimonies, those who can serve us and those we can encourage. So if early on we're thinking about, well, who is it difficult to unite with? Maybe it's now, who do we need? How can I admit my needs? How can I honour those who are sort of less obvious up front? Church is one body of many parts who all belong to each other. The church is one body of many parts who all belong to each other. You need others. The church is one body of Christ. Belong, B be needed, need others. So we come to that verse that we had earlier. You are the body of Christ. Church is Christ. Christ is church. Each one of you is part of it. Let's take a moment. Paul is the writer of the 1 Corinthians. What did he do? What did he hear on kind of the roads when he met with Jesus? What did Jesus say to him? He says, Paul, why do you persecute me? Not my church, me, Jesus. What you do to the church, you do to Christ. It's a bit like what you do to your body, you do to you. If I punch your arm, I've punched you, isn't it? What you do to the church, you do to Christ. Similarly, Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. What you do for the church, in the church, you do for Christ. It's raising our game, isn't it? We look around and we love each other, but we love our Lord and Saviour. Serve him by serving each other. Love him by loving each other. What we do to the church and for the church, we do to Christ and for Christ. So how are we taking part? And as I said, I think at 4 o'clock, we can be greatly encouraged by how we take part. Our afternoon, the tea where we go on to, is a great opportunity. But if there are any of us who are sort of tempted to kind of do the SAS approach to the church, we kind of get in and get out without anyone knowing. Ha-ha. It's not great. One day when I write the story of my curacy, one of the chapters will be, I don't come here to belong, because there was a lady who always sat on the back pew. I'm not pointing at you now, but who always sat on the back pew. Then there was the entrance, and then there was some pews, and then there was the rest of us. I used to put my robe cover there. I used to put my stuff there. She would climb over it to get to her place. In the end, I said to her, it'd be great if you came forward. I'd love to hear your voice in the singing. I'd love to hear you taking part in the liturgy, the words we say together. She said, well, I don't really come to take part. And I left it. I picked up my jaw. We do. We come to take part, don't we? We don't snub the church by not taking part. We snub Christ himself because we are his body. Now, I know for some of us, talking to others is hard. We might be shy. I know the time over there, particularly with all the children, is chaos on legs. So it can be difficult. So pray to God to help you. Maybe put one person on your heart. You don't have to talk to everyone. Please don't try and talk to everyone. You'll go bonkers. Talk to one person at the side. Maybe go on the coffee rota. That's how some people I know have dealt with this. It's a way of kind of having that, here's a coffee, here's a tea. You've done a little bit of chat. You don't have to know the next line in the conversation, but you're getting to know people gently. There are ways to gradually get involved, to gradually be known and to know others. We come to these last verses, verse 28. In the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then these other things. There's some question about what this means, whether there is a hierarchy here, kind of who's given the kind of word of God, whether it's a temporal thing. So first of all, the apostles were sent out, those who knew Jesus, to speak the word, and then prophets would be those who kind of apply this word into these various churches, and then teachers, you started to get the letters and you're teaching from them. But I think the emphasis here, as we've had all the way through, is that there is a broad range of people being involved in a broad range of ways. We can notice that once again, tongues is at the end of the list. We'll come back to that in chapter 14. But it was obviously a concern in the Corinthian church. But there's a broad range of gifts. Do we expect a broad range of gifts to be enacted amongst us? Are we taking part? How do we experience this from each other? Do we pray for these, for ourselves and for others, for the good of the body we belong to? Verse 29 and 30 in the Greek, there's a word that's meh, which has come back, but not in the Greek, but it's not all. So the expectation is that not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? The emphasis from Paul is saying, not everyone is everything. We're all part of one body. You've heard it enough, probably this afternoon. Diversity is healthy and necessary. There is a little bit of surprise, verse 31, after all these, but equally desire the greater gifts, which we'll leave until chapter 14. Before we get to chapter 14, we will get to chapter 13 next week, which is a famous chapter, and it talks about love, the spirit in which all these gifts are exercised. It sort of sits as the centerpiece of all these passages. As we get to know each other, belong to each other, it's about loving each other, isn't it? Loving each other. How are you involved in the building up of the body? If you are, as we say, if you're new or feel like you're not involved yet, get in touch. There are lots of ways to be involved. But how? How are you discerning what gifts you have? Do you need to change a role that you have in the church? Don't immediately change, but do let me know. How are you letting others help you be built up? How are you letting others know of your needs and weaknesses? Because it's a great way that we counter the world and are distinctive to the world, aren't we? The weak and the strong together. Not kicking the weak out until they get strong, but the privilege of caring for each other. I always think of holiday clubs because I love those where people come in and they see so many people involved and giving up their time and their effort and their energy. And as well as the stuff that we say to the kids, adults kind of go, what are you doing giving up all this time for this? Church in action. We had Ed and Sarah over at lunchtime and they were talking about meals being brought to them when you had one of your babies. And the midwife being there and she's talking, oh, you're being looked after, you've got support network, and then you get a whole bunch of meals arrive at the doorstep. She's blown away. How can I belong to your church? Of course she's going to say that. It's God's very glory at work, isn't it, as we love each other. The churchless Christian is an oxymoron, isn't it? Like king-size shrimp or Microsoft works. It doesn't work. It's not the right thing. A Christian belongs to the body. I don't do church. I don't belong to church. I don't need to belong. Maybe that's you. Maybe more likely it's a friend of yours who you know is kind of drifting in between churches. As a Christian, you are church, the body of Christ. You are needed within the body of Christ, and you need church, the rest of the body of Christ. We can't do Jesus and not his body. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this amazing picture of the church as body. How interconnected, how interdependent, how diverse, but all functioning together for greater common goods and with Jesus over all and in all and through all. And we pray for our congregation and our church family to be marked exactly like that. For our goods, as we look after each other and as we are looked after. And for the greater good of the gospel, as people look in on us and they say, I want to be part of that. They see something of you. We pray, Father, that they may see something of you in our interactions, in our interdependence, in our diversity, in our love for each other, in our tolerance of each other, in our joy together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.